Matthew chapter 6. And in case you missed it, I know some weren't here this morning and some might have been in the classrooms teaching. I do, at the end of our last slide or at the end of service, I'll post the scriptures we read this morning. They're all up there for you as a reference if you want to copy those down and read those later. Because I went through the whole Old Testament. We actually went through from Genesis through Malachi, from the beginning to the end, covering our giving. I actually had somebody tell me after church, said, so that was really good. So I didn't realize all those scriptures were in there about giving. So I hope it ministered to, you know, more than one person. And because it is it's a life-changing thing if we can get a hold of it and embrace it and practice it. Look at Matthew 6. This is Jesus speaking in verse 1. We'll read 1 through 4. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." Now stop there a minute, Sam. First of all, Jesus is addressing this when you give your alms. When? Like it's a matter of fact. That it's a practice that carries over into Jesus' day. When you give of your alms, when you give of your offering, do it in this manner. And he says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. You know what he's saying there? That we should be so spontaneous, we should be so generous, that we shouldn't even sit there and try to process it out. We should just be able, as God speaks, to release that and give that away without getting caught up in a, do I have it, do I not have it, do I have it, do I have it, and let it get in our head. Just when God speaks, we give. When God moves, we give. And we give generously and we give abundantly. Next verse. "That thine alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth thee in secret himself shall reward thee openly." He is saying when you give, give with the right heart. Don't give to be seen. You saw the video this morning, the empty envelope guy. It was really funny, right? He says, "I want everybody to see my empty. I don't have anything in it, but I want everybody to know I'm giving." He says to give out of your heart and give it in secret. Just like our fasting should not be publicized. You know, that's something that me and Mel has talked about, and it drives me crazy when people go around talking about their fasting. "I'm fasting today, I'm fasting today, I'm fasting today, I'm fasting." Why are you telling about it? That's something you do before God privately. You don't go air that out there about it. That's a thing between you and God. Our giving's the same way. Jesus says, when you give of your alms. In other words, you know what? Jesus expects us to give. That's carried over right here in the very beginning. He expects us to give. He expects us to bring something to the house of God. But he wants us to do it with the right attitude. And tonight, we're going to be more on the attitude of giving as much as we are why we should give. Because the attitude is very important in why we give. Don't you hate those obligatory gifts you have to give at Christmas? You know, Don's office draws names. You got to get a gift, $20 or less. You draw a random name. I got Crow Face. Okay. Don't even like them. But you know what? I got to give him a gift. You know, and we feel obligated to do that. I would rather somebody keep something than give it out of obligation. Just keep it. Because if we can't give freely, if we can't give out of a heart of love, a heart that we want to, it doesn't do any good to give that gift. So our attitude is very important. And the Pharisees were big about showing what they were doing, but their heart really wasn't right place for God. Because we shouldn't want to be glorified for our giving to God. We should want to glorify God. That's the difference in attitude. Are we trying to bring glory to us, or are we honoring and glorifying God? Next scripture, Sam. This is in Mark chapter 12, just a couple books over. One book over. Mark chapter 12, and this too is Jesus speaking in Mark 12. I know this morning y'all were so excited and motivated, and I had several comments after service. It was very interesting. Some had some humorous statements to say. Mark chapter 12. It took me a while to get one of the jokes, but I finally got it after it was explained to me. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. That's like a 16th of a penny, if you translate that, the best I've translated it, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, what does he mean there? How could this little widow woman, a 16th of a penny, be accounted for more than all the rich people? Here's the message. Here's the revelation. Our giving should be a sacrifice. We should miss it. It should be something that we're really sacrificing, not something we're just throwing in. You know, I was reading an article about, I know it equates differently, but how that we tip our waitresses, right? Does anybody know what the standard tip is for a waitress? 15% to 20%. I think the average American I read is 19% is what they leave as the average tip. Now, I know that's 15-20% off a meal. I understand that. But God says, give me a tithe. And we think nothing about leaving 15% of our bill to a waitress. Why do we hold back what's God's? Here's these rich people throwing their money in. And yeah, it says they gave much. But you know what the difference is? Probably what they gave wasn't near as sacrificial as what the widow woman gave. Because the Bible says, it goes on, I don't have it up here, but it goes on if you read that to say the widow woman, Jesus said, gave all she had. She brought her best. Do you realize for someone that makes, and I know we have expense, but let's just say that for someone that makes $1,000 a week, and then someone that makes $100 a week, that person that makes $1,000 a week throws $20 on the plate. The person that makes $100 a week throws $10 on the plate. Well, 20 is more than 10, right? But who really gave more? Who sacrificed more? And this is what Jesus is trying to say. This woman sacrificed. Our giving should be a sacrifice because, once again, it should be part of our worship. Just as we sing songs and lift our hands, we're offering our praise to God. You know, as you come here, you're offering your time to God. And as we give of our offering, we're offering our money to God. It's an act of worship. And so it needs to be taught that way because it truly is. It's not a money scheme or a church thing. It's a God thing. And this little widow woman gave all that she had. And Jesus made a point to say, look at her sacrifice. If we're not giving enough to God to be a sacrifice, we're not giving enough to God. It's really that simple. Because we know what sacrifice means. We sacrifice for our kids. We'll squeeze every dime we can to go on a vacation. You know, we'll work 2 jobs to have extra money just for a certain thing. We sacrifice. We sacrifice for people that we love and things that we love. We'll sacrifice. You want that new Mustang, you'll start eating Beanie Winnies every day for lunch. You make the pay on that Mustang. You'll do what you got to do. You'll sacrifice. But when it comes to God, many don't really sacrifice. They token give. Or give not to feel guilty. Or give to say, I gave. You know, just to say, I gave. But what have you really given? Have you given your best? Have you given what God's brought back into your life? Look at all that God's done for us. It goes back to the piece of pie. The pie. And it's funny, I found that video. I was going to use the analogy this morning. I forgot it. But I thought about this before I saw the video. That if, say, Minnie brought me a big old homemade chocolate pound cake. Homemade chocolate pound cake. It was mine. Here, Pastor James. Here's your cake I made, homemade cake. She brings it here to church. And then Sierra sees it back here. Hey, James, can I have one little slice of that? Mine. But wasn't it a gift to you? Yeah, but it's mine. You're not giving me one little slice of it, just a tenth of it. You got the rest of it to eat. I just want one little piece. That's kind of how we do with God. He gives us all of it. He gives us our lives. He gives us our health, like I said this morning, our jobs, our income. He positions us in right places. He puts us in places to succeed and to prosper. You know, it's really all about God's favor, opening doors for your life, putting you in the right, around the right people, putting you in the right moment of time. It's God's favor. And all he says is, honor me with a little something back, just to show you really trust me. Even our money says it. On, if you fill out any bill, it'll say on there, in God we trust. It's on our money. And so when we hold that back from God, are we trusting in God? Or are we trusting in our bills, in ourselves, in our debt, in what we think we should do? We make all these excuses. Church don't need my money. Ain't gonna keep the preacher and his family up. There's other people there to give. God knows I got issues. The church is full today. One thing I will tell you, it'd be very surprising to most of you, when our church is the fullest, our offerings are the lowest. That's a pattern I see every time. When we're really full, they're the lowest. Somebody else will give. Somebody else will take me for a ride today. I love what Melanie said. She was right. Debbie sowed a lot of seed to buy this land back years ago, back in 03, 04, 05. Long before many of you even came here. In her hard-earned money, she sowed to purchase this parcel. She was sowing for future generations like Trey and like Lexi. That's right, yeah, Lexi. There's Harley back there. She was sowing for Ashley. Ashley got saved swinging on that swing set in the backyard as God spoke to her. And we laid hands on her and led her to Jesus here because this place was here. Debbie's seed. And a lot of you sow too, I realize that, but David's been gone for many years. But the visions keeps going. And her seed for the future was sown then so you would have a place to come. So little Emily would have a place I could kiss her little face when she walked out the door. I couldn't kiss that little face if I wouldn't have a vestibule to stand in back of a tile floor. And Debbie made that possible. So blame Debbie, honey, not me. This morning I tried to kiss her. I don't like it! Went out the door. So you have terrible memories of me. And so realize when you're sowing, you're not just sowing for now. You're sowing for the future. The future of your own life and the future of the church's life. Look at that plaque sometime. I don't know if you've ever even looked at our plaques hanging above the coat rack. Look at our charter members. We have a plaque that says charter seed sowers who weren't members but sowed seeds into this ministry. Some of those folks are dead and gone. They're gone, not the earth. But they were here sowing a seed so we could be here still carrying out God's vision. So I'm glad you brought that up, man. That's a great analogy with her. Here is Luke 16, verse 10. Luke, that's the next book over. Luke chapter 16. And this is once again Jesus speaking about giving. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. And let me ask you this. We start out on fire sometimes, man. You know, we get $100, I can give 10 bucks to God. Then God bless us and we get $300 a week. I can give 30. I'll squeeze 30 out to God. Then we start making 500 a week. Man, that's $50. Whew. Then we get to 1,000 a week. Man, that's $100. That's a Benjamin Franklin. You know what I can do with $100? Yeah, you can buy 4 gallons of gas. You know what I can do with $100? And all of a sudden, we start looking at that instead of saying, look, be faithful over what God's gave you. And as you're faithful over that, God will increase you. But you're not going to be increased if you're not faithful to what he's already put in your possession. You know, I've told Melanie, God gave us 3 children. And I'm thankful for that. And you know what? It was no accident. We've got 3 children from God. And God must have thought that we could handle 3 children. Or he wouldn't have gave them to us. He gave us 3 children to raise. Think about this. They're going to be on their own one day in the adult world. I mean, we burped them and changed them and spanked them and fed them and clothed them and taught them how to walk and talk and sit and shut up. Well, we ain't taught them that part yet, but we taught them everything else except that. And here they are. One of them is off at college. And she texted me today and was She made me feel so good. She texted me and says, Daddy, I listened to your sermon online about guarding your heart. It was really good. And I want to encourage you, we have our sermons online. Log on sometime during the week. It's full sermon. You hear the whole thing. It's very clear, as clear as it is right now hearing me. And she put in the text, it was really good, and you sounded so Southern. See, she's got the Greensboro around them culturally correct kids, all them Yanks. And so all of a sudden, I'm sounding a little more country, a little more Southern. But it made me feel good that she listened to it. And she's out there on her own functioning. And I thought, man, me and Melanie, that's scary. She's taking with her what she learned from us. I mean, I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. I'm not the dad of the year. I don't have no blue ribbon. And so to think that she's out there functioning on her own, driving on her own, walking campus on her own, and around all them, I mean, working out in the Greensboro food line on her own, and she's on her own completely. But God trusted us with three children. And we have tried to be faithful over our three children the best we can. And you know what? When we're faithful over a little, He will make us ruler over much. He will give us more. Next verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that means money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. And this is the most profound statement. You cannot serve God and money. That's what mammon means, money. You can't serve both. Jesus is saying you got to make a clear distinction of where your trust is lying. Is it trusting in what you can do, or is it trusting in what I can do? Is it trusting in what your abilities are, or what my ability is? But you can't serve both. And see, giving is just as much, should be just as much a part of our Christian walk as coming to church, as reading our Bible, as praying, as witnessing, as serving. It should be just as much part of our Christian walk as giving our offerings and our tithes unto the Lord. It's very important to God. It's throughout scriptures from beginning almost to the end of the Bible. We read about giving and offerings unto God. So Jesus makes it very clear you can't serve both. And I know there's folks that, I mean, it's just a culture that people just don't give. But sad, because when we can cross that line and start trusting God with that, it takes us to a deeper place. I'm talking about a spiritual place. Because, man, if you can let go of that. There's one commentary I've got where the commentary says that if we are not giving God our money, if we don't give God full access to our pocketbook, have we really surrendered at all to Him? Now think about this. I've been saved. I know Jesus. And I serve Him and I love Him. But if you're holding back what's His, you're not in full surrenderance. Not full surrenderance. You're in partial surrenderance, but not full surrenderance. Because this is the Word of God, and it's Scripture throughout about our giving. You know, I was bragging this morning about some of our younger people, our teenagers that are working, and I know are giving to church. And it blesses my heart to see a young generation giving to God. You'll never go wrong doing that, ever. You'll never go wrong giving unto God, letting Him have your life. None of us, church, can afford a tithe. That's why it's a sacrifice. Because we can't. None of us just have it laying around. I'll give 10%. I won't even miss it. I miss my 10%. Sure I do. In the natural, sure. You write that check, you think that's quite a bit of money gone. But man, it's yours. God, it's your money. And you can take, you know what we're doing? We're giving God true permission in our lives to take our seat and say, God, I trust you completely. Because that's where our heart is. Remember when He went to the rich ruler, and the rich ruler said, I've kept all the commandments, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He says, sell all you have, follow me. He wasn't wanting to sell all he had. He was testing his heart. The rich man said, I can't do that, God. I can't give up what I got to follow you. You know why? There's a heart issue there. Either we trust God or we don't. I trust God. I pray every night. Trust Him with your money. I can't do that. At what level do we trust? You know, I don't follow Melanie around every day to see where she goes and what she's up to and what she's doing. Who she's kissing on and hugging on and running around with. I don't do that. Make sure y'all are still with me. You know why? Because she don't do those things. Or she better not. I always say I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'll be a fighter if that happened. I can tell you that. They'd bring her back anyway after a few weeks. But I don't follow her around. I fully trust her. I trust her. You know how wonderful it is to trust somebody to the full extent that you can truly not worry about what they're doing because you fully trust them? That's what God wants. Trust me. Fully trust me. Yeah, you come to church, and yeah, you sing, and yeah, you raise your hand. Yeah, you say amen. Yeah, you pat the preacher on the back. Good job, preacher. Good message. But trust me a little bit more. Trust me where it hurts. And watch what I'll do with that. That's a sacrifice. Next scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, this is verse 1. This is Paul speaking now. Now we're off Jesus and we're into Paul. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. Thank you. Good job, Sam. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. I want to read verse 3 here out of the Amplified of that verse, because this is worded a little more understandable. The Amplified says, for as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability. They gave according to their ability. Are we giving according to our ability? Goes on to say, yes, and beyond their ability, they did it voluntarily. They gave beyond their ability voluntarily. There is something wonderful about being able to sacrificially really sow a seed to God. And there are many of you that could give testimony of how God has honored your life by your giving. That you know God honored it. You know God has blessed you and taken care of you, provided for you. We're an economy, church, that we need to trust somebody besides our government and our job situation. You could lose your job tomorrow. I mean, I realize that. I mean, you know, I realize in the natural, I could lose my job. I know that. And I understand that without the grace and the provision of God, we have nothing. We have nothing. But if we place our trust in God, not our employer, but in God. See, it's not your employer that blesses you. It is God Almighty that blesses us. It is Him that's placed you there, promoted you there, favored you there, granted you there, made the way for you to be there. It's God that's given you your children and your grandchildren and that extended seed. It is God that's given you health. That when you go to the doctor, he says, everything looks pretty good. You're good for another 20 years. Head on out and live. It's God that gives us that. I mean, you know, as you get older, your health becomes the most important thing in your life. I mean, really? Well, except for your money. We can't get rid of it. The money's always number one. But behind money, your health becomes pretty important. And you begin to realize, you know what? There's things money can't buy. There's things money can't fix physically. There's diseases and sicknesses that all the money in the world, if I went to the best doctor in the country, so here's $10 million, make me whole, I can't do it. We can't fix that. But God can, because our faith must be in Him as our healer, number one. In Him, our protector and our provider everywhere that we go. It's God that covers us with His grace. We're not alone. God's with us in every season of our lives and every step we take. God's there covering us and watching over us. Even we don't realize it, He's got our back. See, God works on our behalf full time. He's never off duty. God's never off duty in our lives. I mean, the enemy, yes, he sneaks in. Yes, he attacks. Yes, he comes against us. But it's not unknown to God. It's not like God was caught sleeping somewhere in a chair. He knows what's happening. There's nothing that happens in our lives that God isn't aware of. He's watching us all the time. And it's important that we understand that our blessings come from Him, not ourselves. You know, I've tried to always, and I have always, give credit for this ministry to God for what He has done. This God built this church, and God sustains this church. And without His hand of blessing on it, it wouldn't be here. It is God that does it. And I realize that, so it's God that I give to first, above all. And you know what? My children never not had clothes. I gave my tithes. I never told Jamie at the mall, Jamie, look. Well, I do give him price limits because, you know, kids will spend what they want. But I never say, Jamie, look, we can't get you those good shoes you want. We got to get real cheapos because I tithe this week and I ain't got money to buy you shoes. My kids never heard that. I'm sorry, son. Sorry, daughter. We can't do that because, you know, I tithe this week and we ate yesterday. You know, as long as we eat Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're good. You know, we can sustain on that. Jesus went 40 days, children. You know, I've never, you know, never went through the McDonald's drive-thru. Your total was 10:42. Here's seven. Can you take seven? I tithe this week. I'm short. What do you think they would do? No. And so our tithing has never affected us, our needs being met. Ever. Ever. We've been in our home for 15 years. Been in our house 15 years. I'll have it paid off in 5 years. Never missed a house payment because I tithed. It never was a decision. It never has been an issue for me. Man, you know, went to the dentist. And we took all three of our kids to the dentist, what, last year, spent I don't know how much money in their mouth. A bunch because they had issues, you know, jack-o'-lantern, you know. So we went to the dentist. Got your teeth worked on. And we had, you know, several bills there going with all three kids of teeth work. And we had to pay for it out of pocket. We didn't have any insurance. Not one time did I substitute my tithes because my kids had teeth work done. You know what? It's all paid for. All their teeth paid for. Hallelujah. Teeth paid for. And I kept giving to God. Jesus wants us to understand we either believe Him or we don't. We trust Him or we don't. We walk with Him or we don't. It's an important part of our spiritual walk to grow as Christians to realize He owns it all anyway. He owns them teeth of my kids. He gave them teeth. Of course, some of them ruined their teeth by the wrong kind of eating, but that's our fault as parents. But God gave me those children, and He gave me a way to provide for them. Go to the next verse, Sam. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul was talking about, we thank you that you have given to the ministry. We thank you brought your money that we can minister to the saints and we can carry on the church. We can carry on operating the ministry. Thank you for your generous gift. Here it is, Paul talking about the importance of their giving and him thanking them for what they have done because they couldn't function without the finance. This is 2 Corinthians, book, next chapter. Chapter 9, verse 6. Once again, Paul. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Here's a principle. We talked this morning. Tithing's not a law. It's a principle. It's a big difference. It's a principle. It always has been. From Genesis 4, it's the first account we read where someone offered a tithe to God. Genesis 4:4. That was 2,500 years before Moses and the law. But already it was a principle that Abel gave God his best. And what did God say? He says, I honor your offering. That's something to think about. Does God honor your offering? Does God honor it? Because if it's not sacrificial, if it's something you don't even miss, you think it's honored by God? Bring your best to God. Trust Him with your best. Give God what's His. And then watch what God will do with the rest. Does God honor my gift? That's something we should all think about. Does God honor my gift? Am I giving what I should be giving? Am I giving what I could be giving? Am I even sacrificing for the house of God? Or am I just, you know, skating through the one place? And see, a lot of folks have a misconception that church should be free. And we, if you're an adult and have any understanding, you know church isn't free. That we give to God because we want to honor Him. There's a part that belongs to Him. And you know what? He's going to take that seed, as Malachi 3 tells us, and multiply it and open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devourer for our name's sake. Church, I believe, and it's not because the money keeps the burglars away. It's not the money keeps the bus wrecks away. It's not the money keeps those things away. It's my faith in God that keeps those things away. Because God, I'm giving you permission to have my life. Man, you know you've crossed over if we can learn to release what really is God's. That we've went to a deeper place with Him. Verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. See, God wants you to want to bless Him. I mean, think about this. Remember when you know you've got kids and it's birthday time or Christmas time and you're so excited to see, for them to see what's wrapped up. You know, it's their birthday and you know what you got them already and you got it wrapped up with their little name on it, you know, little Lexi, and you know, Chastity and Larry just grin each other and just can't wait to her to, oh, man, wait on this. They wanted to get that gift for her. It wasn't something that, you know, I mean, hopefully it wasn't something where Larry said, birthday time again, really? Okay, I don't care, get her something. It don't matter, just get her something. But keep it under this amount, but get her something. Sign my name the card. If we gotta get her something because she'll be whining if we don't, so I gotta get her something. Well, man, that ain't no way to give a gift. But man, when Larry and Chastity's together and they say, this is what she wants, let's get it. And they're hiding it from her and sneaking it around, and they already know they got it. She keeps begging for it every day up to her birthday, and they just keep on. They're so excited. Here's your birthday present, Lexi. She's shaking. That's pretty cool. I wonder what's in there. She tears it open, and then her face is priceless, right, Chastity? Face is priceless. Mom, no! She's so excited. Then all of a sudden, Groucho Larry over there finally gets it. He's like, I guess it's worth it. See that smile on her face. But see, we love giving those gifts to our children. There's a picture we come across in our scrapbook a few weeks ago where Jamie's opening something. What was that, Mel? His face was like priceless. Yes, a Wii several years ago. And we got a picture, a snapshot. And Jamie the Christian, it was for both the kids. It was for all three of them, I guess, really. But Ashley was a little bit young, didn't really know what it was at that point. But Christian and Jamie were very aware of what it was. And Christian's face is like, and Jamie's like OMG, you know. And you can see it, it's captured. And he was so excited. And we were so excited. And it was a gift from someone else. We didn't even buy it. And we just couldn't wait for them to open it to see their expression. And think about the blessing that person sowed in their lives. And so that's how God wants it to be. You know, we bring our offering to Him, cheerful. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Lord, I want to give you this. Look at all you've given me. You've delivered me and saved me and healed me and set me free, kept my marriage together, blessed my life, blessed my job, blessed me in every way. I'm healthy, I'm breathing, I'm here. And God, I want to honor you and I want to bless you with the best I have. I won't, God, wait till you see this check, God. Can you read that from there, God? That's my offering to you. You like that? Oh, God, I just can't wait to give it to you. That's how we should be. Excited to give to God. Cheerful. Not grudgingly. See, our giving, our attitude means everything. Because God doesn't want a grumble box given. And I've said this before. Not that we don't need the finance. We do. But church, I don't want anybody here giving because you just have to or feel like you've got to. Just keep it. Because you're going to miss out on the blessing anyway. It's more important to me you get the blessing of God on your life by giving it with the right attitude. Man, I want to see the church blessed. I want to see people's lives blessed. I want to see people promoted and blessed financially and blessed physically and their kids blessed. And I want to see that. As we trust God with all of what we have. But I don't have much. The widow woman didn't either. She gave all she had. Perfect example. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about, are we offering our best to God? Are we giving what we can? Understand, the person that don't make much is not going to give as much, but they give according to where they're at. Like our young people, they work part-time. They can't give hundreds of dollars, but they give more than some adults in here give because they give based on what they've earned. And I'm so proud of that. It blesses my heart. I'm so proud of that. Next verse. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now here's what Paul was saying. Because of your giving, because of you giving with a cheerful heart, giving what you're supposed to, God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In layman's terms, God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure you're all right. He's going to make sure you are blessed. Think about the pressure off our lives if we could truly trust God and quit worrying about it. You know what? If God's in our future, what are we worried about, honestly? If God's in our future, what are we worried about when it comes to things financially and the world markets and the economy? If we're trusting God, God's able to provide. God called Joseph into Egypt and promoted him out of prison to provide food for his own family when the famine hit. God had a purpose. And God took care of Joseph and his whole family and blessed them in time of famine. I'm going to tell you, God's people will not go hungry when they're honoring God. God will make a way. Because we're giving permission to. Here it is, God. I love what the video said this morning, the investment guy. You know, had your F-U-N-D, took a W-A-L-K, had your fun, took a walk. You know, I got a guarantee for you. Look what Malachi says. Guarantee for you. Test me, God says. Prove me if I won't take care of you. The pie is a perfect example, too. We slice everything out. Car one, car two, credit cards, how. You're like, where do I start? I've got to pay my bills. You start with God. And then God will take care of everything else. I promise you. I know, church, we still have debt. We're raising youngins, got one in college. I know about debt. Believe me, I know about debt. We have bills every month. We have things every month. We have unexpected charges every month. We have things break down every month. We know about debt. If you're a homeowner, it's always something going on. Something's always breaking in your home. Something's always happening. We give to God first. But how do I just trust God first? And then just watch what happens. Just watch how. But once again, the attitude's got to be right. God's not a genie. You can't give like he is. Well, bye, George. I'm going to give to God. He better do what he said. I'm going to test the old pastor's theory. And if he's wrong, I'm going to complain next week. Because if I sow a seed tonight and they don't come back by Friday at 3, I'm calling Pastor James and saying, I want my money back. You get it back. We ain't going to hold you hostage. But God's not a genie. I gave my tithes. I want 3 Arabian wives. Where they at? Near, 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 near. Well, I want to see them. We don't do that. But what God does do, she's laughing at me. I get a kiss tonight. She shook her head no. Trust God. We read this morning Go back to the top arrow where it says scriptures from this morning. I think it's the very first block up there. You have to scroll up. Up a little more. Yeah, right there. Hit number one. That's our scriptures from this morning. We read a lot of scripture this morning. That's all we covered this morning. And every one of those, the first three is talking about God owning everything. Then Genesis through Malachi is talking about actual tithing and offerings before God. That's where we were this morning. If you want that as a reference, and you probably don't because it's not a hallelujah shout message to make you feel good, but it's up there. Now, if that was verses about God loves you no matter what you do and how you sin, y'all be writing everything. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But don't say that. This is about your giving. So if you really want to know what God's word says about your giving, go back and look at those verses. If you weren't here this morning, read those, and it's undeniable what God says about tithing and offering and giving unto him. It's undeniable. And we can't just take out the whole canon of the Old Testament. I mean, if you take that out, you got to take, as I said this morning, 10 commandments out. You got to take Psalms 23 out. Don't we love Psalms 23? Every funeral I do, I usually do Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. Well, we love that chapter. But it's in the Old Testament. We love the verse that says, no weapon against me shall prosper. You know where that's found at? Old Testament. We love the verse, he shall renew my strength as an eagle. You know where that's at? Old Testament. A lot of good stuff in there we preach in the Old Testament. Yes, sir. We love God's going to close them lines, man, like he did Daniel. Old Testament. Even end time messages in the Old Testament. For you end time fanatics, Daniel talks about the vision and about this and about the beast and about 365 days or whatever, or you know, whatever that is. 700, I don't know. But anyway, he talks about all that end time stuff. That's in Daniel. That's in Old Testament. So there's a lot of stuff that we quote that's found in the old, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm going to whoop your hind end, Dylan. You know where that's found at? Old Testament. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not thy understanding. Acknowledge him. He'll direct all thy paths. Proverbs 3, 4 through 5. Old Testament. So we see all this stuff. So if we're going to take this out and say, that's too much, that's back then take, got to take everything out. I mean, God don't change. That's a principle. Tithing and giving is a principle from day one. Abel brought an offering. We didn't read the rest of it, but Cain's offering God did not accept. Remember that? He didn't accept Cain's offering. Now, there's many theories why. Maybe it wasn't the right offering. Maybe it wasn't the best offering. Maybe he just, you know, got something cheap to get. I don't know. But the point is God refused it. And Cain went away mad. And God says, look, and like you, you know, tonight, don't go away mad. Just do what's right. Because God says, I'll give you another chance. Just bring me the right offering, Cain. But he got mad and killed his brother because God refused his offering. That tells us in the very beginning there is an offering that is acceptable to God and there's an offering that's not. Is your offering acceptable? Are you giving your best? Can you do more and trust God? Because if you want more, you got to sow more. That's a principle. That's a seed. You know, when you get promoted at work, if you want more money, you got to have more responsibility. You know, when I was at Walmart, people would always, you know, talk about us as managers. You know how employees, you talk about your boss all the time. People talk to us about them managers walking around them walkie-talkies, not doing no work, and they got it made, telling me what to do all day. You know what most of their schedule was? 7 to 4, 7 to 3, Monday through Friday. You know what my schedule was? 55, 60 hours a week, Sunday, Saturdays, midnight, back in the next morning at 6, get 3-4 hours sleep a night many times. Yeah, I made more money. But I have more responsibility. And I knew that. I didn't put the same effort in management as I did before. I grew and met the challenge. So, if you want more, you got to sow more. You got to sacrifice more. And that's what God is trying to teach us about giving. Give your best to God. Now, Wednesday night, I will not be talking about money. I don't think. God's going to have me somewhere else. But I wanted to cover it tonight, too, because we only got through the Old Testament today. And I didn't announce it this morning. And judging by the crowd, people may have figured I was going to go with it second part, too. That's why I didn't announce it. But I wanted to cover New Testament teaching on it, and I wanted to cover it to those that weren't here this morning. So I want to make it fair to everybody hear the message. But our giving is truly important. And one thing we're going to do different for a while until God changes this, we're going to keep these offering plates up here, and we're going to bring our offering to the Lord at the altar. I think that's important. You know, passing the plate, and most churches do it, and we've done it for many years. Nothing wrong with it. There's no right or wrong, I don't really guess. But passing the plate almost seems some kind of nonchalant. But when we bring up our offering and realize what we're doing, just like when we come to pray at the altar, we come to give at the altar. I'm laying my sacrifice at the altar, God. I'm giving to you. And for some that are embarrassed to bring it up, that's fine. That's your loss. But we need to make our offering a little more part of worship. You know, there are some churches so contemporary now, they don't pass an offering. They put things at doors. They don't even hardly bring it up. They don't want to talk about it. You know what? They're doing a disservice to God's people and really to God by not doing that. I think the offering needs to be a big deal. Not what we talk about every Sunday or all day, but it needs to be a big part of our service to where you know what you're doing, to where it's a separate part of the service. Just like we have singing, we have preaching, we have altar prayer, testifying maybe sometimes. This should be just as important part of our service when we bring our tithe and offering and give it to God. Think about the old days when they had them animals, them little doves they would have or cows, and they would bring them, carry them and walk for miles into Jerusalem, carrying their little lambs in their arms, giving it to the priest, laying it up on the altar. I'm carrying my lamb. I'm walking for 10 miles today because it's the time of sacrifice. It's a very important part of our worship. So I want to make that a reverent thing. And I want all people to be encouraged that it is everyone's responsibility to give unto God. Not just the people that seem to have money, or not the people that are older, or the people that are younger. All of us. And here's another good thing. You're going to love this because I taught this morning and tonight. If you were here this morning or here tonight and you heard this message, you are now accountable to respond to it. And so I'm done with it. I've done what God wants me to do, and you've heard the word. So it's up to you to do something with it. So it's part of my job to do that, to teach it. You know, even little Ashley, she doesn't do it all the time because of her money flow. She don't have a job, of course. But there are times that she has put money in the plate for money she's received into the church. Not because I told her to. You know, I've never told Christian to tithe. I mean, she knows we do. And we live by example. But when she started working on her own, she began to tithe. And Ashley gives her money sometimes. I love it. It's so sweet. Now, Ashley is going to be a little more of a difficult challenge because she is very conservative with her money. She's good. She's had over $100 for, what, a year? And she spends a little bit here. We was at Walmart one day. What? Nah. Can you buy it for me? No. You got $100 at home. I won't spend my money. Yeah. She's shopping on eBay now. The new thing she's got coming is a Barbie camper. She paid $25 for it plus shipping. And it's over $100 retail in a store. She's sharp. But Ashley, always remember to honor God. Don't be so cheap you don't get a God. All right. Everybody good tonight? Everybody still happy? Everybody still love me? It's part of the word, that's all. You know, you're very fortunate. A lot of these bigger churches, they do whole series on this. They'll go for weeks on tithing. You realize that? They'll go for weeks. Preacher will have 4 or 5 weeks of this. You got just 2 shots at it. Because it's not something I enjoy teaching because y'all look sad. And because y'all think I'm out for the money, and I'm not. Just trying to teach what God says about it. We want the church to keep going forward. You know, and it has to be financially supported for it to go forward. All right. Right. And see, in the Old Testament, it talks about that some couldn't afford a lamb, so they would bring a dove. They brought, once even then, they brought according to how God had blessed them. And so some could bring a little dove, some could bring a lamb, some would bring a calf, just depending on where they were financially. But they would bring according to how God had blessed them. And it was a big final sacrifice. You know, the first fruits of their ground, their wheat, all that was their livelihood. And, I mean, think about it. You could sell a lamb for whatever, a pound, to someone to make money. That went to God. That was the same as cash back then. So, yeah, glad you brought that up. And thank you. That was part of what I wanted to